All right. While they're on their way out, I want to turn maybe more toward a more serious note about this series, which is called No Longer Orphans. And part of that is our relationship with the Father, that we've got to reconnect with our Father God. Then we have to reconnect, or sometimes connect for the very first time, to this thing we call a church family, this family of God, and realize that there's a belonging there, that we belong in community and together with our family, the family of God, and then that we each can contribute in these ways that just enrich the body, so that when your name is mentioned, everyone around would say, couldn't think of living without them. Appreciate what they bring to our church family. Appreciate what God has done in their life. But you see, that's not really where everyone stands. Probably not even everyone in the room today. Because what happened, and if you'll follow me back to Genesis, this thing happened from the very beginning when Adam and Eve, when they turned from God, this thing happened, and I'll call it an orphaned heart. When Adam and Eve, when they turned from God, God who wanted to be father to them, then their heart moves from Him to other things. Now, it's interesting, if you look in Genesis chapter 3, you'll find in the curse where their hearts turn. In Genesis 3:16, he's talking to Eve and he says, "And your desire will be for your husband." So Eve's desire turned from Father God to another relationship. In this case, her husband. And then how many of us have tried to fulfill this empty space, this longing, this significance, this belonging by turning to some kind of person in a relationship? Yeah, you want to know where it came from? That's where it came from, that somebody would love me, that somebody would help me be significant. It happened way back then. She turned from God and her heart turned to other relationships. And then what happened to the man? It says in verse 19, it says, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread." And men, we love to work with our hands, don't we? We love to accomplish things. Women, you're included in this too, just like men are included in the relational aspect. But we love to say we did it, that we are self-made. And so in that case, Adam's heart turned from his father God, and it turned to the work of his hands. And how many people are there in the world that are still trying to make it, still trying to be somebody, still trying to do something in order to feel wanted and received and to belong? Now, here's the interesting thing. Eve had Adam before the fall. So there were relationships before the fall. Adam had work to do before the fall. So there is nothing inherently wrong with a relationship with another human being. There's nothing inherently wrong with work. It all came before the fall. What happens is, though, when my heart turns from God, I become an orphan. My heart becomes orphaned. I am no longer connected to Father. And I believe as we look at our cultures, we bring this thing forward from Genesis chapter 3 to August of 2017. And as we look at the demise of family that's going on around us, oh Lord, are we not full of it, orphans, of orphan-hearted? Now here's the thing. You can be a part of the church and still have an orphan heart. Do you realize that? You can be sitting in a pew and have been doing it for a long time and you still have an orphaned heart. And so I wanted to list some symptoms of what this orphaned heart is like. Now you can go online and you can Google, because you can find anything if you Google it, right? So you can Google this and look for different things if you like, if you feel like you want to know more about this. But I've listed several. So the orphan-hearted person has to get attention. We think about that in preschool, right? That child that needs to get attention and do whatever it takes to get it. You know, but as adults, we're the same. You know, we love attention. We'll do whatever it takes to get it sometime. And it's because we can't find our place. We don't know the love of the Father. We can become territorial. This is my thing, right? This is my job at work. Don't you touch it or tell me what to do. You know, this is my ministry. Nobody else is going to do it. You know? Whatever it is, we become territorial because we find our significance and our worth in this stuff and not in our relationship with God. This constant feeling of being inadequate. Uh-oh, I done gone to meddling, I bet. Just constantly feeling like you don't measure up. Not good enough. Yeah. Feeling afraid all the time. Constantly needing reassurance. Needing reassurance as a pastor is a really bad deal, man, because when you preach a message and it goes silent Sunday afternoon, you're like, oh, how'd I do? I wonder, did it make sense? Did you know? And that goes for everything, right? Constantly needing to be reassured. You're doing a good job. You did good. You're okay. Yeah. It's never enough, though, is it? Never enough. The orphan heart but tends to mistrust everyone because everybody's got an angle. If you watch, somebody's going to hurt you. So the orphan tends to mistrust everybody and keep them at arm's length. They're easily offended. They're rebellious. You say, stand up. They say, I'm going to sit down. You say, okay, sit down. You know what? I think I want to stand up. Unteachable. Can't be told anything. Because we have to appear that we got it all put together. We got it all figured out. I think I'm speaking today. I'm not sure. I might be touching on something. The ways of God seem difficult to the orphan. Is that anybody in the room? You just can't figure God out. It's like, He is difficult to understand. That verse, His ways are not our ways. You're like, that's my verse. I don't understand Him. I can't figure out what He's doing on the earth. The orphan heart always has trouble figuring out what God is doing. God doesn't treat me fairly. He didn't treat me like everybody else. I don't seem to get rewarded for the good stuff that I do, and I seem to get punished much more hard than everybody else around me for stuff. God doesn't treat me fair. And because of those things, then we become a bit of a loner sometimes. Isolated. We keep everybody at arm's length, which means, you know, I come up to somebody and I smile, and you know, because we're from the South. How you doing? I'm good. I don't know about you. You know? And that's about as close as we ever get. Because the orphan heart won't let anybody in. It won't let anybody get close. It can't because it doesn't trust and it doesn't know what real love feels like. And so everybody has to stay at a safe distance so you can't hurt me. I love to ask people, how's that going for you? Huh? How's that going for you? You know, of keeping everybody at a distance so they won't hurt you. I bet nobody's ever hurt you since then, have they? Do you see what the orphan heart does? It doesn't allow you to enter into real relationship, which is this thing that we were created for, to love and be loved by God. And so, like I said, you can be a believer and still be orphaned. You can receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and still not know God as Father. Did you hear that? I'm going to say it one more time in case you thought I was going somewhere and you needed to remember that. You can receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is your Lord and He is your Savior and not know God as Father. Do you realize when Jesus came to save you, He came to save you to restore you to a relationship that was broken? But there are some that have stopped halfway on the journey. You got Him as Lord, Jesus, but you have not reconnected with the Father yet. Yet. And so because of that, I need to read you some scripture so that you understand the heart of God for you, okay? We've been in John, we have been orphaned, and now it's time that we come back into relationship with Jesus and God our Father. Turn to John. I'm going to take you to three places. One is John chapter 1, verse 12. This is how we reconnect. Jesus has done all that is necessary for us to have a relationship with God as Father. You hear me? He's done it all on the cross. It's a finished work. The Father has been wanting to father you. You'll see that in just a minute. He's been fathering you. The problem is our orphaned heart won't let Him. It won't let Him. Listen to what it says here in verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Now it's said in the context of two people, those who are receiving Jesus and many of the Jews who are not. And the key is in those who believe. What does it say? Those who believe have the right to be called children of God. I have to open my heart up and receive God. Some of y'all been married. Some of you were the second one to say, I love you. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you, somebody said they loved you first, right? I think I did it first, didn't I, honey? Didn't I? I think so. This is a perfect case. I didn't realize how good it was. Let's use it. I love that woman. I knew I was marrying up. And I had to do whatever it was to keep her. So I said, I love you. And I don't think she bought it the first time. But I was serious about that thing. Now, I had said in my heart that I was going to love her. But it only works if she receives my love. Yeah? I venture to say there are people that are married and they have never received the other person. They went and did something at the courthouse, signed some paperwork, got in front of a pastor, said I do, but never received the love from that other person because they had an orphan heart and couldn't. But that's what happens. Somebody says, I love you, and they mean it, and they start moving in that direction. And the other person, it waits, and this thing is not what it fully is intended to be until that day I wore down. Which is what God has to do to us. He has to wear us down. He just keeps loving and loving. And he said, are you tired? He's like, no, I'm not tired. I'm going to wear him down. Just wait. And I wore down, and she looked at me, and she said, if you're not leaving, then I'll marry you. It didn't happen quite like that. You have to receive the love of God. Jesus died for you. The Father has been fathering you, but you can't feel it and walk in it until you open your heart and you receive it. And you say, I don't understand what it means to receive it. Well, let's talk afterwards. But I tell you this, you need to go away and figure out what it means to receive God as Father. Some things you can't have everything explained to you. Sometimes you ought to work at it a little bit yourself and say, what does it mean for me to receive God as Father? Because when you do, the promise is this. You instantly inherit being a child of God. Now let's keep going in case you think that I just picked out some verses. Romans 8. It's throughout Scripture, this thing of becoming children of God, God as our Father. You'll find it in Hosea. You'll find it throughout the New Testament in Romans chapter 8. In verse 15, it says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. Yeah. There shouldn't be any orphans anymore. We ought to clean out the orphan-hearted rooms of our churches and our communities. There shouldn't be any more orphan-hearted people. Because it says, you've been given a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out, Daddy, God. You can sing that song that we sing, Abba, I belong to you. And it won't mean anything in the world until you open your heart up and receive Him as such. In fact, it'll somehow sit funny to you till you open up your heart and receive this God who says, I'm just going to keep loving until I wear you down and you realize that I'm your daddy. And I always have been. And I've always loved you. It's why I sent Jesus to come and redeem you. And then 1 John chapter 3, go over there. It's toward the back. Go to Revelations, back up. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such are we. Man, I want everybody in the room to experience that. I want you to know that you know that you know that you have been adopted by God. And the only thing that's been holding this up is our reception of God as Father, not in Him loving us. And just one thing, at the conference I met this guy, his name was Larry Knight, and I hope that he and I can become friends because this guy's got a great way of communicating. He said something that resonated with me years ago, and I think it might resonate with some of you. He said that he thought that God loved him, but he loved this future image of what he would be like if he could just get some more sin out of his life and just be a better Christian and, you know, just act a little bit better. That what God loved was actually this future image of who he could be if Larry could just get his life straight. He said, but what he finally came to realize is God can't love that person because you know what? That person doesn't exist. There's only one person that God can love. That's you right now. But Satan wants to tell you, yeah, he loves you because you know he loves everybody and he's supposed to, right? You know, God loves you, but he really loves this image of what you will become when you just start acting right. But what the Father says, and any father and mother in the room know this, every child, you might want to sell them cheap, but you love them. Right where they are, regardless of what's going on. Because when you look into the eyes, you know they're yours. And that'll never change. So when the Father looks into your eyes, He knows that you are His. That'll never change. But there has to be this reception. Now that's good. In fact, I want to stop right here because I don't even think you can get to the part two of this thing until that has become settled and you're willing to work on that. You can't, I don't think you can even progress into this next thing the way that you should unless we settle that right now. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to have ministry time right here in the middle of this thing, okay? So close your eyes. I want to speak to anybody who realized that in some capacity they have an orphaned heart or there's still a portion of their heart that is acting like an orphan. And I want to speak to you right now and I want to say that God loves you right where you are. That Jesus Christ died to restore relationship. And you may have received Him as Lord and Savior. But you have not progressed into this thing where you can confidently say, God is my Father. And He will protect me. And He will provide and He will love and He will satisfy every longing of my heart. And I will not turn to any other relationship, although those are good and right in the right order. But I'm not going to look to those to do something that only God can do. And I will not strive to work with my hands to accomplish something so that somebody, I can be something. That you are precious in God's sight, right where you are. And there is nothing else you have to do. There is no striving that has to take place. The thing that has to happen at this point is we got to rest in it. Do you hear that, soul? Rest in the love of the Father. And then just like any of you who have ever been in love, who have ever felt love before, you realize that the way you experience it, the way you walk in it, is you receive it. So receive it right now. And just do this. Say, Father, if you need a little help, I just renounce this orphaned heart in the name of Jesus. And I receive you as my Father. And I'm going to walk as a son and a daughter of God. And I'm going to learn what that means. Because that's how I was made. And that's what I was created for. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now that's good, but it gets even better. Because when He adopted you as Father, He wants to place you into a family. And that's called the church. There are a lot of images used in Scripture to define church. It's called a body, it's called an army, it's called a field, it's called many different things. But we're going to concentrate over the next few weeks on this thing called family. That God placed us into family, and then everything that is written in the New Testament, I believe, has to be viewed from this perspective of family. And then you realize that in the family. Now, the church is anybody who receives Jesus Christ as Lord. So if you have done that, you are part of the family. That means that somebody over in Pakistan who has done the exact same thing as you, guess what? We've been received into the same family. The people down the street that are going to church at another building, at another location, guess what? That's part of our family too. That's why we ought not talk about other churches And we ought not meddle in their business. Because when you do, you're meddling in family business. And you're hurting the family. You know? So anybody who names the name of Jesus, we are part of the family of God. But the family is meant to work in these, where we group together in these ways that I still can't figure out. It's God doing it. He just groups people together. And in that family, there are fathers and there are mothers. And we are having them in this church, and I thank God for you. If you are taking that spiritual authority as mothers and fathers, thank you. Because every church family needs fathers and mothers. There's brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters will fight a little bit every now and again. So don't be surprised if some of that comes up, okay? It doesn't mean the system is broken. Nobody ever looks at your family and says, you know what, them siblings, they don't get along. I think you ought to break that thing up. No, it happens, you know. There are brothers and sisters and there are children. And here's what I want you to hear. God places us in a family. He places mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and children around us. And then He gives you gifts. And they're supernatural. He gives you these gifts and they're listed. We're going to talk about it. Some of y'all know you're going to be excited. I'm going to preach on gifts. It's coming. We've been here for 2.5 years and I've not preached on the gifts, although you've seen them operated here. And we've made room for them and we encourage them. So you've seen the gifts operate. In fact, some of the services that are your favorites, some of the ones you're like, oh, God was there. You know why He was there? Because the church was operating in their gifts. Each one was contributing to what God had given them to do. And that's what you liked about it. Is when you left those services, you said, oh, God was there. No. And so you've been given gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that there are these different gifts and there's different ministries and there's different effects. And they're given so that the body can be built up. And then I'm going to use this word and I'll explain it. And that Jesus can be manifested in our midst. I looked that word up. It's so that He can be clear. That there's a demonstration that Jesus was here. I remember one day Molly said, Kevin, and spiritually I just saw Jesus start walking through the church and ministering to people. She said it was amazing. Sometimes that's what happens when people just start looking to Jesus, start using their gifts. It's like Jesus just walked. We sing the song, Jesus walked into the room. Now, He was there before we got started. Okay? Don't misunderstand that. He was always there. But He manifests. It's demonstrated. Oh, He's here. Yes, He's here. I see it. I feel it. I know it. That He's here. But here is why I'm focusing in on this. Because I believe that this modern version of how we do church is lacking in some ways, and it's hurting our ability to be family. So we're going to go into an experiment that I believe is biblical. And I'm going to ask anybody that's willing to go along with it. You see, we've created a system of church where everybody comes and you watch a handful of people exercise their gifts. But you don't ever get to exercise yours. In fact, Paul would call that unlearned. Means you don't even know you got one. Don't even know what to do with it. We are not supposed to be in 2017 and there be people who are unlearned, as Paul would call it, in the gifts. You don't know what God's doing in your life. But the system we've created calls us that. So I'm not blaming you. If anything, I'll take every bit of it on me, but I'll say, but it's changing around here. Yeah? It's changing. The Ember is not going to be a play. I can't speak for everybody, but I can control a little bit about what goes on right here. I can at least control me. I can't even control you. All right, but I can control me. We will not show up week after week, and this is the only thing that we call church, where we all come and watch Kevin exercise his gift. That's why we're going to get smaller around here. We're going to get into groups that are smaller so that everybody can do what God has called them to do, so that you can belong to something and you can enrich something as well. But in order to do that, you're going to have to let us in. You're going to have to let some people in. this arm-length relationship that you've kept with everybody in the world so that you can be saved, which is not working. We've already proved that. It's going to keep you from experiencing family the way you need to experience it. You're going to have to open up your heart and receive this church family. And I believe that when we do, we will experience Jesus like never before. So, this video showed you some of the people that are willing to start gathering people in their homes or in the cafe out here. The location doesn't matter. It's that people have decided that they want to live life together. They want to open up their hearts to some people. We're going to kick that thing off August the 20th, and we're going to experiment with this thing through the end of the year. And if we get down to the end of it, and you come to me and you say, God's a lie, then I'll say, okay, apparently we didn't do something right. So we'll have to fix this thing. But I'm telling you, I done checked the book. The church is a family. And it's got to start acting like it. So I want to end with some things that God has done in my own life, and this is my prayer for you that this happens to you. So I'm going to do a little reminiscing in my life. I lived with an orphan heart, which is the craziest thing in the world, because I had a really good stable home and a family that loved me. So I had no excuse. You know? My father loved me. They're married. They've been married about 100 years. Long time. You know? It just proves that when you get together in family, you just have to decide not to quit. You know, it's one of the biggest things you can do. I don't know why I had an orphan heart. But God had to settle that. And that's why I say you got to settle it too. Because this thing doesn't work until God becomes Father the way it's supposed to. And so He settled my orphan heart, and He's still working those things out. I still go home and fight the urge to ask Brantley, well, how was it? How was the message? Did it make sense? Did it sound like it was okay? Yeah. Settle this issue of orphan heart and continue to work on it. And then this thing happened. One day I was where I was a youth minister years ago. And I had been youth minister for, I think, a couple of years. And I walked down the hallway into what was called the social hall at the time. And I saw this group of guys. There were about seven of them. And they had gathered around in a circle, because that's what people do when it's loud and you need to hear what everybody else is saying, right? You'll just naturally sort of form a circle. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But Kevin walked into the room, been in this church, now serving in ministry in this church for a couple years, and I saw those guys, and this voice came to me and said, you don't belong. You don't have any play. You've been here for 2 years and you still don't belong. And I just looked at that circle, closed circle it looked like to me. And it was a lie, y'all. In fact, as I was sitting there looking at the group, I turned to walk back down the hall because, you know, I didn't want to be that little, you know. I was that kid that sat on the bench wanting everybody to call me to play, but nobody would call me to play because I was that little kid moping on the bench, you know. Some of y'all know what that means, right? You know what that means. And so I was going to revert back to that. And I was walking down the hall, and God said, stop. So I stopped. He said, that's not their problem, that's your problem. You see, that group wasn't closed because they didn't want me. They were just talking, and they couldn't hear, so they had gathered around. And just enough courage got into me where I said, okay, let's go try this thing. I walked up, and I kind of, you know how you had to do. Right, trying to be cool about it all the while, though, right? You know, got to walk up. So what are we talking about? And you know what happened? I was instantly just a part of that conversation. Because they didn't want to keep me out. My orphan heart kept me out. And that's what yours will do. And so then I realized that a lot of what was going on was in my head, not in reality. And then this thing of family came home to me. I had this bright idea that I was going to start a group of people, and we were going to pursue God, and we were going to pursue the gifts, everything I'm talking about now. But I was going to do it with a small group of people. And I tried to talk everybody I could out of it. I said, you know, if you're not serious, don't do it. I don't even want you. I was serious. I was trying to, You know, I wanted to get everybody out except those who really wanted to do it, because I wanted to go after God. And I wanted some people that wanted to go after God. And so some people did. And so we were gathering, and in that group, man, we just started getting honest with each other. And Jeff shared with you last week, you know, Jeff Lucas, who spoke last week, one of the things that first came out is they were just upset at the way we were treating children. A lot of times, you're upset about stuff because you're supposed to be the solution, not the critic. And they realized that there was a problem, and they didn't want to be the critic. They wanted to be the solution. And you see them. What did they do? They took our kids out today. That's where that ministry got birthed in their heart. It's when we were in community, and they said, there's a problem, and we think we could be the solution, that God could use us. And that ministry was birthed. And then we were meeting, and Kim Sconyers, you know the lady that moves around in the wheelchair all the time? You seen her? Yeah. So she was in that group. Kim has a habit of getting hurt around these times. So we were meeting in groups, and Kim fell out her porch and broke her leg. And at that moment, we had what, which every group has to get through something, a wall, to really be community, be family. And for us, it was Kim falling. And she was at the nursing home. And a couple of things just real quick that reminds me, which is kind of cool. Harriet brought coffee out to her every morning, I think, and just had coffee with her ready. And we decided that we weren't going to let that stop us, that we were going to go out to the nursing center, and we would meet in their activity room as a group. And something happened that fall, and rallying around her united our hearts, and we became family that day. And out of that, we began to minister to people, and you heard the story, man. You've heard them before. We started praying for people, and we saw people get healed. And then one of the members in the group, Gene Underwood, he developed cancer, and Gene died. And we were devastated because we'd seen people get healed. And I realized the other day when Jeff Lucas said that that was the place where he got stuck, I realized that that is something that I never grieved over. I ain't tell you that. I never grieved his loss. I just put it in the back where at that place I got. I told you before, I got this place I can put stuff and it won't hurt me there. I put it there, and I realized that I put it there because I couldn't deal with him dying. But we were doing life, and it was one of the most beautiful things that I have ever seen. And then we started Ember, and things got crazy, and we couldn't figure out how to get back to that, right? Kim Williford, Rodney, you were there. We couldn't figure out how to get back to that. And then a few months back, God started moving in these services because people were exercising their gifts, and it was cool. And Tiffany Walters had this thing where she said, I believe God wants us to do this thing. And so we got together one evening, and we invited by email anybody that wanted to come in the church. And the gifts were exercising just like you see in 1 Corinthians 12, and it was beautiful. And Kim Williford walked up, and I didn't even make the connection until you said it. She said, this is what we started all those years ago. She said it was family, and it was right. And we were seeing God move, and we're seeing it all over again. And it's no coincidence that Kim's not even here because she done broke her hip. Now, I'm not going to, God did not break her ankle or her hip, okay? Can we just be clear about that, okay? But I'm like, here we are again. And you guys that know her, you're rallying around her and you're ministering to her. And one of the things, if you know about Kim, that she won't mind me sharing, she's going to share it when she gets back, she's stubborn. I love her, but she's stubborn. And she had to learn to let people love her. She had to open up her heart and let people love on her. And now people are in and out of her room, and they're loving on her. And I don't think there's any accident that we're right back where we started. And Kim Williford, I think you are exactly right, that we had a deposit back then. And it's something that our hearts have been longing for, been aching for. And we're here again. And we're going to start with anybody that wants to start. All right? Because you an adult, I can't make you do anything. You know, I don't even want to. I don't, you know, that's too much work. But I want to invite you in. And I'd ask you to pray for me that I can present as compelling and as powerful an argument for this as possible, to get as many people in as possible. Because I don't think we can be all that God has meant for us to be. I will say it this way. I don't think you can be all that God means for you to be if you have not received God as Father and you have not received your place in the family of God. And that you're using your gifts and your talents and all those things not only to belong but to enrich this body. So here's what I'm going to do. By the way, you know, the little 3-minute meet and greets and stuff that we have, that's not family. Okay? That's good. That's like walking on the front porch and meeting somebody that comes down the street. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about letting people in. Letting them in to your personal, just letting your heart be open. You know? That's what I'm asking. So I want to ask those that have agreed to be group leaders, I want you to come up here because I want the church to begin to see you. There's cards out here by this door that has some information on all of them. We put their checking account from Founders. Because if we're family, you should, you know, be able to, you know, just kidding. All right? And here's the other thing. I don't think we're done with this group. I think that there are some of you, you're out there, and the call on your life is to be spiritual mothers and fathers and to do this very thing. And I say, welcome. We want you. Let's do this thing. You know? Yes, come and be a part of that. Some of you, you're just naturally gathering up people at your home anyway. Why not turn this thing into something supernatural that the gates of hell can't prevail against? So I want you to see them. And now we're going to do this. You guys just move out and mingle. I want you to just rub shoulders with some of these guys. And the invitation is this. This thing won't work until you open your heart. So why not start today and practice opening your heart? I pray that you'll receive your place in the family of God. Y'all go out and love on some people, okay? Y'all love them back. God bless you.